Good morning. It's good to see you in the Lord's house today. I'm excited that you're here. Let's pray as we begin this time. Father, you are awesome in this place. We worship you. You are worthy and wonderful, worthy of glory and praise. We want to praise you today using our voices, our hearts, our minds, our entire being, Lord, for your praise. Lord, help each one to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Seek you. We focus our attention on you and you alone, Lord. You are worthy. We praise you, Father. Praise you, Son Jesus, and Holy Spirit. And ask you to work in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 16, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. This is a little bit different than one of the versions we use, but you've heard it before and sung it. Let's just pour out our praise unto the Lord. Since we don't have a screen this morning, hymn books are available. And hymn number 16 is the hymn number. Let's stand and sing and worship together.
Hail Are you glad you're here? Part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Take a moment or two. Welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today. Good to have you.
Amazing grace of our Lord. We sing hymn number 344, Grace That's Greater Than All Our Sin. We'll sing the first, second, and last stanzas.
Grace, grace, grace,
Let's sing that chorus together, Ella. We sing an offertory hymn today. It's very familiar, hymn number 343, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. We'll sing all five stanzas, and we'll stand up as we go to the last stanza when we've been there 10,000 years.
Now, dear Heavenly Father, as we come to that part of the service where we give back to you a portion of that you've so graciously and generously given to us, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver, and may it be used for your ongoing work here with within this church and in this community. For it's in your name we do pray. Amen.
I'd like to thank Foster Partain for playing with me today. He's my guitar student. We practice on Thursdays after school and have a lesson, and he's been working on that one for a good while, and I said, why don't we play that in church? And he's ready. Now, there was one stipulation. Now, Foster, he's one of these young people that like to wear shorts no matter what the weather is. It can be 10 degrees below zero, but he's going to have his shorts up. But he fastened up today and got him some long pants and looked awesome and sounded great too. So, Foster, thank you. We look forward to you playing more. So the choir is going to lead us in a familiar hymn. Now, if I'm correct in this story, we've got Ann German Luck. And her husband, Ray. Ray sometimes is away on weekends preaching, but he's here this weekend. It worked out good because the first night he came, I introduced this song to the choir, and he said, you would think all the years I've been singing that I would know Great is Thy Faithfulness. But this is one of the toughest arrangements I've sung. And it is pretty tough, but the choir's done well and got it, so we hope that you'll be blessed. And Karen gets to play some extra notes on this one. So we enjoy it. But you worship the Lord with us as the choir sings, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy.
Thank you, choir. Oh, man, that gets you ready to preach. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you, choir. Amos chapter 7 is where we are today. I walked in early worship this morning about 8 o'clock, and when I walked in the side door, Ken had a ladder, and he was on top of this ladder up there trying to work on the projector, and the bulb has blown in the projector. Well, y'all all remember the old school tube TVs, you know? And so that's what that basically is. And so the bulb blew. And good for us, we're in the process, as you can see with our confidence monitors, we're in the process of getting a new projector, a new laser projector. And so we're getting a new one anyway and a new screen, and so things will work out perfectly. But yeah, even in the early worship, we had no projector today. All right, so Amos chapter, thanks to Paul. I wanted to say last weekend our middle son got married, and it was busy, 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 family on Sunday morning. And so Paul filled in both worship services, and big thanks to Paul for taking care of things. All right, Amos chapter 7. So false worship, false religion. All right, so a lack of a repentant heart. It all led to this scary place in our passage of Scripture for today, Amos chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. So what are we learning about Amos? What are we learning about God's people from the book of Amos? Well, what we're learning is they had unrepentant hearts. That's the problem. This is the Lord not giving them just doom and gloom, but the Lord trying to, through his mouthpiece, Amos, tell his family, this is what's coming. This is where all this is headed if you don't turn your hearts back to me. Sin is out of control. And if you don't turn your hearts back to me, this is where all of this is headed. So it's always, what we're learning from Amos is this. It's always about the heart. And it's always about the motivations of our heart. And so what God desires most from us is a repentant heart filled with love. He's not judging us anymore because of Jesus based on our performance. He just wants your heart. Because once God has your heart, and everything else just falls into place. And so even though the Old Testament prophets were called primarily to speak God's word to his people, there's also points at which Amos and the other minor prophets, Abraham, for example, was called a prophet. And there were times when the prophets called out to God the Father on behalf of Israel or Judah, on behalf of God's people. And the first example that we have of that is in Genesis. When Abraham, when it came to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham cried out to God, Lord, stay your hand on a righteous remnant. So A.W. Tozer, the old great A.W. Tozer writes, in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, God announces his intent to destroy the wicked cities. There's no hint at first that he will leave anyone alive. Appealing to God's own righteousness, Abraham prays for God to stay his hand for the sake of the righteous remnant in those cities. The Lord agrees to this and preserves Lot and his daughters, even though his family did not amount to the 10 righteous people mentioned in chapter 18. Abraham's example shows us clearly God's willingness to relent when his people pray. Let me say that again. Abraham's example shows us clearly God's willingness to relent when his people do what? Pray when they come to the Father and with a repentant heart, Father, I love you, I worship you, I repent of my sin. And he goes on, and God's people pray when? When their heart is right and repentant and full of grace. It's always about the heart, church. It's always about the motivations of our heart. So in today's passage, we see another great example of this truth. The Lord revealed to Amos First of all, a vision of locusts. And you know, you've studied the Old Testament enough, locusts would come along, and boy, everything in the path of the locust would be totally annihilated. He says in verse 1, the sovereign Lord showed me a vision. I saw him preparing to send a vast swarm of locusts over the land. This was after the king's share had already been harvested from the fields as the main crop was coming up. And so Amos then recognized and cried out to God for him to stay his hand, to relent. In my vision, the locusts ate every green plant in sight. Then I said, Lord, sovereign Father, please forgive us. We're not going to survive. Israel is so small, and the Lord relented from his plan. I will not do it, says the Lord. So then following the vision of the locust, the Lord gave Amos a vision of fire. Fire, like the locust, would come along and destroy everything in its path. And once again, Amos prayed, the prophet prayed that God would no longer intend that sentence for Israel. The sovereign Lord showed me another vision. I saw him preparing to punish his people with a great fire. The fire had burned up the depths of the sea, was devouring the entire land. And then I said, oh, sovereign Lord, please stop. We're not going to survive this. Israel is so small, and the Lord relented from his plan too. I will not do that either, the sovereign Lord said. And then the Lord gave Amos a final vision. And then he showed me another vision. I saw the Lord standing beside a wall that he had built using a plumb line. He was using a plumb line to see if it was still straight. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? Well, I see a plumb line. And the Lord replied, I will not test my people with this plumb line. I will no longer ignore all of their sins. The pagan shrines of your ancestors will be ruined. The temples of Israel will be destroyed. And I will bring the dynasty of King Jeroboam to a sudden end. So unlike all of these other visions that God had given Amos, indiscriminate desolation, this is a picture of a measuring instrument, a plumb line, a vision. What do you see? I see a plumb line. And so God was saying to Amos, that's what I'm going to use to measure the heart of each person, to differentiate between the righteous and the unrighteous. Not the perfect and those who are not perfect, no. Those whose hearts are repentant to the Father, that's the difference. God saving the righteous and annihilating the unrighteous, saving that remnant that he had preserved by his own grace. Now notice, Amos did not pray for this act to be reversed. He didn't pray, God, don't do it at all. That's not what he was praying. For those of us living under the new covenant, this means that the righteous are those who are declared righteous in Christ Jesus. So we read this as new covenant believers. We look back on this prophecy from Amos. God sharing these visions with Amos, and then Amos then sharing these visions with God's family, God's people. Well, now we have the joy, we have the privilege of now as new covenant believers looking back and saying, oh, thank you, Amos. Because we are the part of the righteous, not because of what you've done or not because of what you've done or anything that I've done. No, 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 no. But now in the new covenant, Jesus stands in our place. Only through Christ can we be declared righteous. Lord, stay your hand. I deserve hell. Period. And I've earned it every day of my life. Stay your hand for Jesus' sake. Man, that's good. The Lord has created and ordained all of history. His works, all things according to his sovereign righteous will. God knew Amos would pray. And God knew that he would stay his hand. But Amos didn't know. Amos had no idea. God only gave Amos a vision that went so far. God knew what he was going to do. God knew how he was going to perform, but Amos didn't know. And the same is true of us. We pray and we pray and we keep praying and we keep praying and we pray and we pray, and we're going to pray tomorrow and we're going to pray Tuesday and we're going to pray Friday and Saturday and we're going to pray next Sunday. And as long as the Lord tarries, we're going to, as the body of Christ, we're going to keep praying. We're going to pray for our families. We're going to pray for our friends. We're going to pray for our neighbors. We're going to pray for our church family. We're going to pray for this church. We're going to pray for our country. And we're going to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, and we're going to keep praying. We're going to pray for our own individual lives. We're going to keep praying, God, move your sovereign hand. And we pray that you do. And when God does, what do? We get on our knees and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. To God alone be the glory. And then we're going to keep praying, and we're going to pray some more, and we're going to keep praying, and we're going to pray, and we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for God's sovereign will to be done in the life of this church, and in our families, and in our individual lives, and in our country. And we're going to keep praying, and we're going to keep praying. And when God doesn't answer those prayers in the way that we want them to be answered, we're going to get just on the same knees that we did when he did answer, and we're going to say, to God alone be the glory. You, Father, are sovereign. Those of us in the new covenant are made righteous through Christ. Now, here's the ultimate question for this sermon. What then is the motivation of your heart? What's the motivation of your heart? I got time to do that church. I got time to do that later. I'm worried about this. What's the motivation of your heart before God the Father? Father, thank you for that good word from Amos thousands of years ago to God's family, and a vision of total annihilation. But you stay in your hand on the repentant hearts. And for those of us now in the new covenant, thankful for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the gift of life in Jesus. If there's anybody that's here today, doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, that's our prayer today for them. And for those of us that know you, your sovereign will be done. In Christ we pray. Amen. Our invitation that we're going to sing is, My Jesus, I Love Thee. If you have a decision for Christ and you know the Lord's leading you to make that decision, then you just simply follow. Be true to what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do. Do that now as we stand, as we sing. Please be seated for just a moment. And for those of you that, if everybody could just stay, because I got something that I need to talk to the church family about. All right, so I had an even shorter sermon than I normally do, which they're usually always short, but this was even shorter than normal. And the reason is because I got some things that I need to talk about to you today. Now, when I said that in the early worship, y'all, the amount of people that have come up to me from the early worship and said, we thought you were retiring. Y'all are not getting rid of me that easy. Oh, no. No, I'm not retiring. I never even thought, Janice and I, we've been talking about this. I never even thought about that in the least that people would think that. But we got to talk about worship. All right. So let me tell you what we've been talking about this as a staff for 5 years, and so the idea from the staff was that on Wednesday night, February the 4th, not this past week, but the week before last, on Wednesday night, February the 4th, I would go to the deacons, those lay leaders of the church, while Ken was going to the choir and the praise team. And all that night, we talked about to the lay leaders and the lay worship leaders, this is where we're going and headed as far as worship is concerned, as far as First Baptist Church. And so we didn't say, don't tell anybody, this is hush-hush. We just kind of, here it is, here's where we're headed. And so we know that the proverbial cat has been let out of the bag, and so it's time for me as the pastor just to kind of talk about, this is where we're going, this is where we're headed, and this is what we ask from you. Let me jump back real quick to spring of 2020, COVID hit. And by the time that we got to the summer of 2020, I was a mess. To say that I was a mess, and Janice will tell you, oh, he was a mess. I was a mess. And what really bothered me and scared me the most about COVID, well, there was all kind of things that drove me nuts about COVID. But the thing was, most importantly, it scared me, to be quite honest with you. And what scared me was that I realized the world was changing. And the culture was changing. The church was going to change. And I've told that story 100 million times where I was walking up the hallway, Kathy Reeves by my side. And Kathy said, I don't know why I got emotional about that, but Kathy said, Joel, what scares you the most about this? And I said, Kathy, what scares me is that I'm not going to be able to get up on a new horse. I'm old now. I've been riding this horse for 30 years and I like it. I like the saddle. I'm comfortable. And I don't know that I can get up on a new horse and ride and help this church to navigate change. And she was confident and she said, you'll be fine. And so the Lord and Janice got me through all that. But one of the ways that the Lord got me through that was this silly little book called Who Moved My Cheese? It's a proverb, a parable. It's a 94-page book that takes you about 2 hours to read. And it's a parable. And it's a parable about the inevitability of change. Change is coming. Change is happening all around us. Careers, church, school, it doesn't matter. Change, that's the one thing that is certain. Things change. Now, how do we deal with that change? Do we embrace change? Do we see it as something that is good and joyful and wonderful and have a great attitude about it? Those are the most successful people in life. The most unsuccessful people in life are the people that are always angry and mad. I hate this. And they get left behind. And so that book helped to change me, to help me realize I either got to help this church navigate change or get left behind. So the Lord really worked on me as far as that is concerned. So let me kind of give you the plan. Here's the plan. The plan that we've been working on as a staff will start out on Easter Sunday morning. 2019, Easter Sunday morning, we had 430 in the 8:15, and we had 402 in the 10:30. That's about a 52-48%, almost a 50-50 split. Everything was great. Life was great. First Baptist was great. And COVID ruined everything. And since COVID, boy, things have changed. And you know this. Now, last Easter, on Easter Sunday morning, 2025, we had 672 in the 8:15 and 235 in this one. So we went from here to after COVID to boom. And so as a staff, we have 540 in that 8:15 in here. This sanctuary seats about 515. So we had over 100% capacity in the 8:15. Tuesday after Easter on staff meeting, I looked at the staff and I said, y'all realize we got to change. Y'all realize we got to do something different, right? And they all went, yeah, we got to make some changes. So we've kind of let it go and let it go until I finally started just writing things down. This would be good. This might be good. This would be terrible. So I finally presented a plan to the staff, and it starts with Easter. On Easter Sunday morning, we're going to have two worship services at the normal time, 8:15 and 10:30, and they are going to be two identical worship services, the same exact thing. I said in the early worship, I'm going to say this about 10 or 15 times just so that you'll finally get it. And so two exactly the same worship services, a blended style of worship led primarily by the praise team. 75% of our congregation goes to the early, 25% goes to this worship service. So it'll be primarily led by the praise team, but the choir's still going to be here. The choir's still going to be involved. Sometimes Ken will do all of it together. I don't know what he's going to do for Easter. I don't know, and I don't really care. All I know is I trust Ken, and I know it'll be great. And so Ken's going to kind of do a blended style of worship. One worship service done twice, all right? Now, that doesn't mean that in the second one, we're going to bring in the pulpit like we don't. No, we're not. It's going to be exactly the same. And I even said in the early worship, if some of y'all come up to me in the next couple of weeks and you say, so in the early worship, it's going to be different than the, I'm going to hit you right in the mouth. And at least 50 people after the early worship have come up to me and said, so you're telling us that they're going to be different. No. And Malone is one of the ones, and Malone and I are still at odds with each other. All right, so no, they're going to be exactly the same. It's going to be led by the same praise team and the same choir in both. So the idea is, how do we get about 150 from that early worship to come to this worship service this time? How do we pull about 150 of them? And the only way that we're going to ever be able to do that, this isn't working for them. It works for me, but it doesn't work for them. And so the only way we're going to be able to draw about 150 out of that worship service into here is if we provide something for them that's kind of like a blended style, and they will feel comfortable coming into this worship service. So I said this morning to the early worship, I said, as your pastor and as your friend, will you help a sister out? Will you do that? Now, those of you that are worshiping in this worship service, if I see any of you leaving and going to the 8:15, you're in big trouble with me. No, I need for you to stay. Y'all continue. You need to be at the 10:30 worship service. We need to pull out of that early into this. So that's what our plan is for Easter Sunday morning. Micah is going to have children's church at both. He's going to have nursery at both. So all of that will be taken care of. And I've already had several that have said, oh, that'd be great. We get an hour extra at the house. That would be fabulous. Now, then after Easter, we'll go back to our normal thing, and we'll do that through the end of the spring. On June the 7th, on Sunday morning, June the 7th, the first Sunday of June, when summer is always our lowest attendance anyway, we're going to have one worship service and one Sunday school for the whole summer. 9 o'clock worship, 10 o'clock Sunday school. For at least the summer. We really don't know how long that will last. We had a definitive answer that we were going to say, when school starts back, we go back to the two. Well, we're sitting in deacons meeting, and one of the deacons, a young guy, one of the younger guys said, Joel, do we have to put a date on that? Can we not just kind of let the Lord lead? And I said, yeah, okay. Several of the deacons after deacons meeting said, why don't we just kind of play that by ear. Let y'all as a staff kind of. So we don't know exactly how long we'll do one worship and one Sunday school. It may just be for a month. It may be for 6 months. We don't know. At some point, we're going to grow beyond where we are, and we're going to have to go back to two. Well, when we go back to two, it'll be like Easter. It'll be a blended style, primarily led by the praise team, with the choir still here, included, and a part of the worship service. It'll be kind of a blended style of worship service, and two children's churches and two nurseries. All right. So that's kind of the plan moving forward. Now, will everyone be happy with this? All right. Between Paul, Ken, myself, Micah, Warren, Heather on staff as well, we've got about 150 years of experience working with people. Change is coming. Will everybody be happy? No. Not on your life. We wish that that was the case, but that won't be the case. There will be people that will not be happy with this, and we understand that. And you just need to understand that we know that and we get that. Some have already said, oh, Joel's making Ken do this. No, I'm not making Ken do anything. In 2022, we talked about doing something and changing for the summer, but we weren't thinking outside of the box yet, and we didn't have an end goal. So we just said, well, at the end of the summer, we'll go back to doing what we were doing. And Micah said, I just don't think that's a good idea. Get us all cattywampered for the summer, and then we go back. And so, yeah, that's probably a good point. But then Ken looked at me and staff meeting and in front of the rest of the staff, Ken just looked at me and he said, Joel, I'm not ready to give up on the traditional yet. And that was the end of the story. Yes, the buck stops with me. I get that. But when that man says, I'm not ready, that was the end of the discussion. So I'm not making the staff, I'm not making Ken, I'm not making anything. We just as a staff realized we got to do something, y'all. We've got to do something to try to even this thing back out, and this is the best plan that we think that will do that. So lastly, what am I asking of you? Well, yeah, I'm asking for some of us to make some changes as far as your Sunday mornings are concerned. But more importantly, we're asking for you to pray for us. Just pray for us. We're trying our best. I promise you that. We are trying our best. And not only pray for us, support us. Did you hear what I just asked? I didn't ask for you to agree with us. Do you know the difference between agreeing and supporting? Just hang out with Janice and me. She disagrees with me a lot, rightfully so, but she supports me. You get that? So we're not asking for you to agree with everything. No. We know you're going to have opinions, and this is an opinionated church. Just support us. When I said that, y'all, in the early worship, trying not to get emotional, but in the early worship, Kathy Reeves just stood up and said, can I say something? Well, when Kathy Reeves says, can I say something, the answer is yes, ma'am. I said, sure. She said, Joel, we support y'all. And that was it. She sat down. Thank you, Kathy. All we're asking is just let us do what we feel like the Lord's leading us to do. If you disagree, that's fine. But just support us and love us. We're going to do the best thing that we can do. Lastly, I'll just say, a man in our church came to me and said, Joel, this is going to have to happen at some point. It needs to happen while you and Ken are still here. If you and Ken run this thing out and retire, we get a new pastor and a new minister of music, they're going to come in and make sweeping changes, and it's going to tear this church, absolute tear apart. But this church will make these changes with you and Ken. That spoke volumes to me. It wasn't but about a month later that Roy caught me in the hallway and said, are y'all thinking about doing something different? You realize we got to do something different. And I said, yeah, Roy, we are. So there's the changes that we're hoping and praying are going to be made, and we hope that you'll go along with us. Ken, you got anything that you want to say?
I just want to say that, as I shared early worship at the end of the service, that my desire is for our church to be unified. Jesus prayed that we believers would be in unity, and I want to do everything I can to facilitate that. And I shared in early also.
much so that my philosophy for music has never been to just only do what I like and, you know, do that no matter what. Cram it down somebody's throat. I don't agree with that. I think a lot of churches have been damaged by worship leaders that only want to do their style of music. So that's not my goal, but I do want to use music that meets the needs of the whole congregation. And so it is going to reflect kind of our makeup of 75% of contemporary worship, 25% traditional. But there's ways that we can do that. A lot of the choir pieces that we do already are more contemporary worship songs that we do. We do contemporary hymns versions in the early where you still have the same basic tune, but you sing the great powerful hymn lyrics. So we'll do some of that. There'll be some times where we just use the piano and just sing a hymn like we do. But I want you to pray for me because I want to do what meets the needs of our congregation. Mainly because I love you. I love this congregation, the traditional congregation. I love the contemporary congregation. I love the people. So it's not about worship style for me, it's about you. And I want to do something that builds you up, encourages you in your faith. I want to do something that you like. It may happen every now and then, but I want to do my best to please the Lord, to seek first his kingdom, and to promote unity in our fellowship so that we can fulfill God's calling for our church. So I need you to pray for me. I don't mind if you come up and say, hey, I'd like to hear this hymn, I'd like to hear more of this. That's okay. I'm going to do my best, and I need you to pray for us and support us. And we're going to love the Lord, and we're going to love you.
Thank you, Ken. All right, yeah. So several people after the 8:15 came up to me and they said, so what do you think it's going to look like? I said, I don't know and I don't care. I don't care. I trust him. He's the one that's going to have to do all the hard work. And I trust everything about him. I trust him with my life, and I certainly trust him with what he does for worship here at First Baptist Church. So I don't know. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. I'll be as shocked as you on Easter Sunday morning. I can't wait. But whatever it is, it's going to be good because Ken Patterson's going to be in charge of it. All right.